Welcome to Windows into Eternity with Almeen. This hour you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Almeen.
Welcome, welcome, my brothers and sisters. Very glad to be with you. I am going to be dealing with your questions today, and they've just been handed to me, so I haven't yet been able to take a look through them and to sort of sort them into categories, so we'll just do them one at a time. And there is a question here from Greece, and it says, why is it that so many of the Light family members are from the Northern Hemisphere? From Canada, U.S., Alaska, Ireland, North Europe, is there a pattern unfolding for the remaining regions of the Earth? The issue is that there is still, if you take a look at the southern regions, the southern regions of the Earth have a lot of tribalism in it. And tribalism means that there is a sameness. Why is that? The answer is a cosmic one. For example, it's as though the lower half, the magnetic half of the cosmos has been asleep. If you take a look at the last two shows, we have spoken about the feminine being asleep. And we said how it happened as a result of the fracturing of the infinite, and its feminine receptive part went into a type of coma, causing the dream state that produced the cosmos. We have spoken about this in several places. Number one, on our ebook, which is The Thought That Fractured the Infinite, on the BBS web tutorial, The Thought That Fractured the Infinite, a 100-minute really great video tutorial that is in-depth information about this. But we've also got it on our blog. We've written about this, and we've got a search facility on our blog, so you can punch in a theme and it'll take you right where you want to go. But the fracturing, the coma state of the infinite feminine has caused all of us to have that. So there is, for instance, in most people, more energy, more resources in the upper half of their body than there is in the lower half of the body. And the Earth has got exactly the same. Her southern hemisphere, her feminine, her magnetic, is asleep. And as such, it is still in a lesser developed state than the upper energies of the planet. Fortunately, we are starting to get really beautiful masters in South Africa and Australia and New Zealand and in Hawaii, of course. Hawaii is still in the Northern Hemisphere. What am I thinking? And so forth. But it's starting to really pick up. However, that is the reason why the Southern Hemisphere has had traditionally not as much of an awakening as has swept the Northern Hemisphere. Now, there is another question from Dave from Australia. How can we promote the flow of the Kundalini energies up the spine? Do your teachings or classes ever involve the use of Shaktipat? And I'm terribly sorry, but I have no idea what that is. I would like to ask you, what role do orgasms play in our lives? How can we promote more spiritual orgasms and ecstatic, blissful experiences in our lives? I am so very, very grateful that you asked this, because the reason that this is on our pre-record, I was a half an hour late starting the pre-record from when it was scheduled, and I know that many of you are listening to the show as a pre-record because you follow my Twitter, and on Twitter I give you exactly when those records happening, so you're hearing it live as I give it. The reason I was half an hour late is I have done 120-minute audio description of a 5-month program to get rid of the overgrowth of fungus that people have in their bodies that causes total systemic diseases, even a minor form of overgrowth because of the lack of nutrition we end up having as a result, causes aging and decay and weakness. Many people are on birth control pills. Many people are on steroids. Many people have used antibiotics. Many people have copper pipes or copper couplings in their pipes. If it's newer houses, they just have the copper couplings, but copper is very water-soluble. And so you end up with too much copper. So people try and eat healthy. They eat more soy, but soy is high in copper. When there's high copper, there's low zinc. When you have this overgrowth of fungus, my brother Dave, there is very low sex drive. Problem number one. Problem number two is that when there is an orgasm, the orgasm's depth is not what it should be. It's a very shallow orgasm. We are establishing two booklets that you'll find on the Belle Vaspata website, which either is up today or it's getting launched in a day, but it should be up. Now, the Belle Vaspata website that we are establishing, and it's the Almine one because my beloved sister Jan has one as well that has been a lifesaver for these many, many years that I haven't had one, but we're creating products for people and programs for people that they can assist with their own healing. We've got a booklet on the sexual organs of men and women that is very important. It deals with the Mayan uterine techniques. For instance, a lot of women have problems with intercourse when the uterus sags. The uterus sags when you have overgrowth of fungus because it malnourishes the spleen, which gives the, it's responsible for the smooth muscles in the body to keep things in place. So when a woman's uterus has prolapsed, which can actually be adjusted, we tell you the different techniques that are available there. It's in the little book, Belle Vaspata and Gynecological or Gynecology of Men or the Reproductive System. There we are, a reproductive system of men and women. That is what it's about. It's either on or it will be on within a day. There are so many physical problems that inhibit the proper flow of kundalini. And fungus in the body, which causes a multiple groups of symptoms. And I've actually listed the symptoms in a 2-hour lecture, and that will be available on there. Many of our children that are attention deficit or hyper, nothing more than overgrowth of fungus in the body. Many that have chronic diseases, chronic bladder infections, chronic ear infections, they get colds a few times a year, etc. It's due to candidiasis or fungus overgrowth. And we have spent 2 hours. Because I did for years medical intuitive work, now I just bring in the techniques for healers worldwide. But I had such success with it because many clinics now are treating candidiasis, though many are still denying that such a thing exists. However, they seem to not get it away permanently, and they tell you that up front. This is an ongoing battle. It doesn't need to be. You just need to get it completely under control once. Know its symptoms, and the minute it starts to raise its head, just in a matter of days, you can fix it. So that is something well worth having. The other is the booklet that we follow. I think it's about 100 page book that is available on the reproductive system of men and women, because there are many things that would enhance sexuality, and we actually have sigils that can do that. But it's not properly functioning because it's painful for the woman, etc. The other thing is that with prostates and with mammary glands, women's breasts, men's prostates, that is the place where all radioactivity is kept. In other words, we are bombarded with radioactivity from televisions and microwaves, all sorts of things. So we end up, where does it go? It's stored for women in breasts and for men in their prostate, and it too affects the drive. When the hypothalamus is weak, it affects the sex drive. You know, what do you do with that? We recommend, for instance, we have a line of products, and they're hard to get. They're not, for instance, available on Amazon. They're hard to get. But we also have made available that you can order it through our main office. But Radinex, R-A-D-I-N-E-X, is the product that pulls the radioactivity out of the prostate so that the energy can properly flow. Now, you need to be supporting it at the same time with, you need to support the liver, and the liver is apo-hepat. So you use those two products in conjunction. The German company that developed the Pacana remedies, they went to Chernobyl. Now, I believe there's a fence about 40 miles out around Chernobyl where nobody can go in. They went right into Chernobyl and touched it, testing Radinex. And they were taking Radinex as they went. When they came out of that 40-mile fence, the Russian scientists with their Geiger counters and in their anti-radiation suits were standing there waiting for them, and they registered with no radiation. Radinex is very, very good. It prevents the toxic buildup in those areas, and of course, toxic buildup in those areas provide a rife growing, let's not say growing ground, let's say a rife area to manifest cancer. As Belvaspatar practitioners, we treat cancer not as a disease, but as a lack of presence. Presence withdraws itself where there is toxicity. So my recommendation is that you would use two bottles of Radinex each, Apohepat each, if you wish to get rid of these pockets of toxicity. There's a reason why I'm saying this, my brother. You see, first of all, the sex drive in people that are in their mid-20s on up is very much diminished. I know that because I speak to thousands of people in classes and workshops and conventions and so on per year. It's diminished. Life is just too hectic. Who has time for it? We would make time if the sex drive was good. And that it is part of spirituality I would like to discuss very much this morning. And it's morning, actually it's not, yeah, it's 10 minutes more and it would be afternoon. Of course, when this airs, it will be evening. And it depends where you are when you're listening to me as well. So, my brothers and sisters, the issue with radiation and sex drive, our sex drive, the older people are getting, the more diminished it is becoming because of the accumulation of the toxins. For instance, the lower wall of the uterus and so forth in these areas because of the hostility of the environment we're living in. And as more and more people experience it, it affects the collective consciousness. Sexuality, for starters, is a phenomenal way to push away density. In other words, it creates a sacred space because any kind of passion does that. Now, you're asking me if I'm familiar with one of these techniques. I'm not familiar with many techniques at all, Dave, because if you read, there's two places where sexuality is discussed. And as opposed to technique for raising spirituality through sexuality. In other words, pure sexuality versus sexuality as a means to raise the kundalini. The two places where that is in Journey to the Heart of God, where there's sacred sexuality discussed, that book. The second book where it's discussed, because of how important it is in going from the human kingdom to the God kingdom. I believe it was on last week's show. It might have been discussed on the week before. But every kingdom has as its goal to graduate to the God kingdom, whether you're a fairy, an angel, a human. The goal is to become a god in that evolutionary line. To get to the God kingdom, you have to have the proper functioning of kundalini. And it can be in celibacy, if needs be, because of the love affair that you have with life, the ecstatic appreciation of the physical. Or it can be done through the kundalini, through pure sexuality. Now, let's go back to something that is interesting, the issue of nutrition. When people come to my workshops, and I look at people, I have years of medical intuitiveness, I can see things that are amiss with them, but I pay no attention to it because I know that a lot of what they have will disappear as we push them into higher areas. And in my classes, that's possible. When you're out there trying to have a spiritual life and you're not exposed to the infinite marching orders of the cosmos, if you will, and we've explained why these rapid raises in consciousness happen in my classes, it's because of being exposed to that which is so vast that our minds disconnect. And secondly, becoming proxies for changing life during that week. Every class is brand new. I teach what I haven't known before, and I do what I have no clue is coming, because we get our marching orders, if you will, straight from the infinite. But nutritionally, when they come in, often the people that eat healthy foods are the people that are the most malnourished. And I couldn't understand this because, you know, they only eat the wheatgrass juice and the this and the that. They should be so healthy. But it's because they eat with an agenda. They eat food thinking, what can I get out of it? Instead of the total enjoyment of the food. For its exquisiteness, for the life that was given, whether it's vegetation or animal life. The complete appreciation of something raises the nutrition far more than to eat the correct foods with an agenda. Because like with anything, the minute you have an agenda, it pulls you out of the moment and it also closes down receptivity. Sexuality is no different. When sexuality is practiced with an agenda, it is often unequally practiced. And there are techniques, I don't know what they're called, but there are techniques. I know the female one is the Chinese technique of the white tigress, but it basically takes its life force from the other person. That is a subtle form of black magic. And women stay young. It's a female practice. But they stay young. They mostly engage in oral sex, not copulation, but they are pulling out the man's energy. And they will stay young looking well into their 90s. That is an aggravated example of inequity in sexual partners. However, there are more subtle versions. Somebody engages with somebody in sexuality because they have high energy, because of their high consciousness, and so forth, and I want to practice something to enhance my consciousness. Oftentimes, the man can gather more from the experience than the woman. Nobody can gain at the expense of another. It is very subtle form of black magic. In other words, let's say, you know, I have found these in my own life over and over and over, where I want the enjoyment of seeing my students get the sacredness of what we're working with, because I'm so excited. I just can't stand it. It's the holiest, incredible information. Do they see it for what it's worth, or is it coming too easily so they don't recognize it? I want them to see it. I want to go, yes, they see it, you know. But even that is an agenda. And an agenda in interaction, whether it is somebody trying to seduce a partner or whatever it is a very delicate form of black magic. And so let us take a look at techniques that uses another, and that person might not get the same raising of consciousness that we do. It nevertheless is a subtle form of black magic that depletes not only the practitioner eventually, but the other. The way that I have been promoting sexuality, and do I teach it? If somebody requests a class on sexuality, I absolutely am happy to teach it. But otherwise, I have only taught it, and I've sometimes had to teach it for months at a time when instructed. And that's usually when the entire cosmos requires a heightened state of sexuality to make it to the next stage. For instance, our cosmos went into its godhood. For months, the sexuality in my classes, as we were studying this, was so thick you could have cut it with a knife. I would say to my students, just, you know, don't make any mistakes. Just understand this is what's going on. I know you're all highly sexual, but this is what is happening. We're doing this for the cosmos. And, you know, just use your good judgment so your sexual feelings don't override things, but understand that that's what's happening. During those months, I have done nothing but teach the proper use of sexuality, because it's what the infinite required of me. So, when you do instead practice with appreciation the way you would enjoy your food, that is when you are asking the right question. The wrong question is, what can I get from this? Even if it means heightened consciousness, it creates a form of lust, a very high form of lust or a very low form of lust, depending on what it is you're seeking. Pure sexuality does not ask the question, what can I gain from this? But it says, what can I give? And it sees with true appreciation. What that means, I will share with us, with all of our listeners here, in the next segment. Let's take a quick break.
The Way of the Toltec Nagual, New Precepts for the Spiritual Warrior, is now available from Almi. Not only is this wisdom-packed book a guide for serious students of the Toltec Way, but also a font of knowledge for all truth seekers. Mapping out the revolutionary changes in Toltec mysticism, it presents the precepts of mastery sought out by all who travel the road of illumination and spiritual warriorship. Almain reveals publicly, for the first time, the ancient power symbols used by Toltec Nahuals to assist in obtaining freedom from illusion. This book also features information about the hidden planets used by the Toltecs and the astrology of Isis. The Way of the Toltec Nahual, New Precepts for the Spiritual Warrior, is now available in paperback or as an electronic download or as an audiobook spoken by Armin. To receive your copy, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016 today.
The Gift of the Unicorns is now available from Almin. The magical book answers the question, do mystical creatures like the winged horse Pegasus, mermaids, and giants truly exist? What is their roles, and how can they be called upon for assistance? In their own words, the unicorns reveal where they went during the ages of darkness, their heroism in preserving purity and innocence, their golden shoes, and the secret mission they undertook for the mother of all creation. To receive your copy of this amazing book of sacred secrets, The Gift of the Unicorns, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016 today.
Welcome back. And you know, I just noticed that we have a second question here from Mona. And it says, I feel quite strongly that a lot of the misery we have created here on planet Earth is due to the mismanagement of our sexual creative energies. Do you have any suggestions, techniques, how to effectively move sexual shame out of our system and allow a more open-minded consciousness and constructive use of our sexual creative forces? So I love this. We have two questions on sexuality, so we'll just combine those together during our next segment. Let us go back to the issue of how sexually we approach someone. Because also the other thing that is often asked of me is, oh my goodness, I'm married to somebody, they're totally not enlightened. I feel myself growing more and more enlightened. Some of the sisters in my classes, the men in my classes have gone into their ascended mastery and they're married to people that are not. Normally, the sexuality that they then practice with the lower partner either will raise them or the partner will fight against it and it will increase the discord. So that's one of the two things that they're faced with from the very high level down to somebody that they're married to that is not in that level. Some of the ascended masters in my classes have actually moved their whole family in by their proximity into at least God consciousness, if not ascended mastery. And that's because the hearts are open and the flow is there. So let's take a look. Every person is a unique perspective superimposed over all that is. If we can look through the window of another, we can see something that we've never, ever experienced before. What life looks like through the eyes of another. We think we know. People say things. We say, oh, yes, I know what you're saying. No, we don't. I sometimes have people around me quite irritated with me because I don't immediately understand what they say. First of all, if they're not clear what they mean, but I'm supposed to be, that's a problem. Secondly, perhaps I'm picking up multiple things, like, for instance, they're trying to persuade me. That is an agenda. It muddies the waters. It makes it harder for me to look through their eyes. But out of courtesy to them, I want to understand what they say. All my senses are engaged in accessing what they're saying. I will ask over and over if needs be. And it is not an insult for them to get irritated about. It's actually a compliment that I care that much, that I see what they're saying. So we think we know what other people are saying, but we can't until we are in the silence that sees through their eyes. During sexuality, if we approach them, but love is involved, it opens every one of the chakras. If we take time with our partner, if there's penetration, but we just hold one another and just feel what it is we're feeling through those chakras, through the chakra system, what it's like to live their life, to see through the vast of their perspective that are of the infinite, is to see into the infinite itself. What a holy experience. So far below us is this old modus operandi of trying to coerce or seduce or get people to do certain things that we think they ultimately for their own good, this is what they just don't know how to have a good relationship yet. It's so far removed from where we are. My brothers and sisters, seduction isn't necessary. We are whole within ourselves. We have entered an age of androgyny in the fullest sense of the word. Everything in the cosmos, including men and women on Earth, have become androgynous. In androgyny, There is wholeness. There is fullness. We don't need to chase another person. All we need to do is shine. Be fully sexually active with life. Both the questions asked by Dave from Australia, I believe it was, about how to increase the ecstatic experiences starts with self. On the website, www.divinearchitect.com. Oh dear, have I made a mistake? Maybe it's on the, if you go to our little search map that's on the forum, it should also be on our other websites. You will see that self-help comes from the self wheels. I believe that it's either there or it's on wayofthetoltecnagual.com, but there are 144 self wheels that are mandalas for self qualities. Any sexuality begins with self understanding, self knowledge, self appreciation, self enjoyment, and ultimately self love. Any. So they are the answer not only to the self-love, but to our eventual sexuality. Because part of self-acceptance and self-appreciation has to do with the beautiful flower of our body, which is our genitals. So to go back, so how do we promote more spiritual and ecstatic, blissful experiences in our lives is what Dave is asking and Mona is asking. You know, how can we have constructive use of our sexual creative forces? Oh, my gosh. I mean, these creative forces are the very lifeblood of unfoldment into the God kingdom. They create a sacred space that we can walk in every moment of our day. But it starts by our self-relationship. And on the School of Arcana, the forum schoolofarcana.org, you will find a map, because the teachings that are pouring forth onto the earth right now, being written down by myself and the students in my classes as rapidly as we can, is so multitudinous and diverse that it is difficult to know where to go. Well, we've created a map for you, and the issues of sexuality begins with self, relationship with self, self-improvement. And it will lead you to these self-wheels. And also, we have the forum so that you can ask the masters. Some of them have been with me for 10 years. All the questions you want about where to go for what. And they can answer it for you. So my brothers and sisters, it starts with the self-relationship. You cannot have a self-relationship unless you have time with yourself. Time to be by yourself. Even more wonderful thing is to have time by yourself in nature. But listen, if you're living in downtown New York, that's fine. Then time is in your holy room. By yourself. Time is making a list of little things you like, big things you like, huge goals you want to have, and working towards them. Little things might be watching one child movie a day because your inner child is deprived of expression. It might be doing something pampering for the adult. A once a month big thing might be trading a friend that is a licensed masseuse or does massage, trading the friend massage for you doing something for them in return, or just going and having a great massage. A weekly thing could be, I happen to love going to the movies. As long as they're good movies, I love going to them. So one week, if I can go to a movie, I'm really happy. A concert, an opera once a month, or a football game where you can eat hot dogs and feel like one of the crowd, because life becomes so esoteric at times. My brothers and sisters, find the things that bring you joy. Make a list, because many of us, when we are not sexual, we are so out of touch with what we want. If you don't know what you want, how can you ask for it or make sure that you get what you want when you're in a sexual relationship? it won't happen because you don't even know it. It's been one of the number one complaints, incidentally, from men. Because I've had my brother say to me, you know, I don't understand. I want to be a good lover for my partner, and I want her to really tell me what she wants. And then when I ask, she just gets all shy because she's not used to speaking about sexuality, or she genuinely doesn't know because she never took time to explore her own body's needs or her own emotional needs. So if we start with exploring self so we know what we want, then putting those things in is a good beginning. Next relationship is our relationship with our environment. It is a sexual experience to have a crisp apple you pick off the tree in autumn when it's cold outside, and it's so juicy, and you bite into it, and it just dribbles down your chin, or a sun-warm tomato, still with its leaves on it. Smell those leaves. Some smart perfumers are now actually, Anouk Catal in France, actually uses tomato leaves in their fragrances because of how heady it is. It's blissful. Smell the leaves. You know, I remember I was recording Affair of the Heart with my dear friend Paul Gestalt, who now is in Toronto, and he had a warm tomato on his windowsill. Oh, and it was so shiny. It looked like it was going to burst its skin. It was so plump. And I just smelt it, and I felt it against my cheek. I mean, finally, he looks up from editing the music, and he says, would you like to get a hotel room for you and the tomato? You know, because I find this, I don't want to eat it. I just want to lick it. So wonderfully shiny. And he made the joke of, would you like to get a hotel room? My brother and sisters, it's a joke, but it's also very profound. Our sexuality, healthily expressed, starts with life around us. If we enjoy that tomato like that, it actually helps evolve the plant kingdom. The tomato plants have a group soul in the plant kingdom. It actually helps to promote them into more healthful tomatoes everywhere around the world. They're able to have better nutrients, and they evolve as a life form to higher levels. So appreciation does that. So the next step is a passionate love affair with life around us. It takes time for deep, meaningful living to do this. If we are just in a doing, doing, doing mode without allowing the input, it withers our kundalini rising. It withers our libido, our sexuality. When we are fully and actively and passionately engaged with a love affair with life. I had one of my sisters flirt with me, and I went, wait a minute, what's going on here? And she was saying, I love to flirt. I flirt with the mailman. I flirt with my friends. I flirt with my children. Because flirt, in her case, does not have an agenda. She doesn't want something. She's just playing with life. So my brothers and sisters, this is the way we begin to bring helpful sexuality back. What is the most I can give? Appreciation. Really seeing the other. Okay, let's take a quick commercial break and we'll be back.
A Life in Miracles is a deeply inspiring and motivational book in its content. It is unique in its field in making man's relationship as the microcosm to the macrocosm understandable to both beginning and advanced readers. It's a detailed guide to living a joyous and balanced life that provides a carefully laid out map to achieving the magnificent destiny that beckons at the apex of human experience, that of ascension. If you're ready to ascend to a higher consciousness, begin and stay with The Life of Miracles or any other books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or her magazine by contacting Al Mean at www.spiritualjourneys.com.
The
The world of mysticism has yet another reason to rejoice. Almeen has authored another manuscript of profound knowledge. It's entitled Opening the Doors of Heaven, Revelations of the Mysteries of Isis. Through a time travel tunnel linking Ireland and Egypt, Isis has sent a small group of masters to prepare for the day when the mysteries would once again be released to the world to restore balance and enhance life. They established the Order of the White Rose to guard the sacred objects and the secrets of Isis. In an unprecedented event heralding the advent of a time of light, these mysteries are released for the very first time. Packed with truly thought-provoking information, this book is bound to have an indelible impression on not only the reader, but on global New Age philosophy. To reserve your copy of this groundbreaking work, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016.
We have here a question from, and I can see her beautiful face in front of me, but I'm not quite sure now how to pronounce her name. Jehanne is J-E-H-A-N-N-E. And she asks, Almeen, I was wondering if when the earth was moved to its new location, was there a hologram earth put in place where the old earth used to be? And if so, are other incarnated beings aware of our new location? Or are they still viewing us as in our old location, perhaps adding to our confusion? There's two differentiations I need to make so we get our language clear on this one, and I also need to explain for folks that are new to this teaching. In February of 2005, the Earth went over the edge of space. I've spoken about it in the book Secrets of the Hidden Realms. And when that first happened, actually, we had 80, it was around the vicinity of 80, and I don't know if it's 82 or 81 or what it was, but we had about 80 craft above the house. Then some of them we were able to communicate with, and one group said, we came immediately because we were going to fall over the edge of space. So the planet started to ascend, and Earth pulled everything behind us. At that time, the Infinite put a hologram around us so humanity would not be afraid, like a shell around us. And although I have not yet had the privilege of seeing it, though I have asked quite a few people for it, there is a apparently something, and please ask on the forum, perhaps you'll have more success than I have, but there is something that my sister Joanne from Sedona got, and it is a small observatory. And the heading of the article is, are we living in a hologram? Because they were able to see the stars the way they are, and with their observatory, and it's a smallish observatory, it's not like the biggies, they were able to see that there was a whole other configuration of space behind what we usually assume to be space. They are correct. And so when we went over that edge, a hologram was placed around the Earth. And when that happened, we saw space still as the same, and we've continued to do so. Some of the oracles in my classes, like my beautiful sister Jelena, have managed to see through that hologram. And I remember the master Renata from New York asking me, when are we going to see through it? And, well, some are starting to see through it. So they can see that a whole piece of Orion isn't there. Now, when we moved, we took our hologram with us. What did we leave behind? We left the old Earth's denser parts behind. It was not a hologram. It was the old Earth. It's a little bit like a person dying, where their spirit moves to higher levels, as in more etheric levels, whereas the old body remains behind. For a long time, that body was still alive. I was sent back to the old Earth twice after the ascension had taken place. In fact, a year and and 6 months after it had taken place, I was sent back for the first time. It was like going into an underworld. It was that dense. All of the very catastrophic prophecies and so on had taken place. There were very few people, but they were of all races on the earth. And they were looked very changed. And when I asked the infinite why that was, it said because millions of years had passed since the earth separated. And I said, but it's just a few years. And the infinite said, no, it isn't. For you, it's just a few years. But where the old earth is, time, it's millions of years. We did leave the actual old earth behind, and most of us moved ahead with the new earth. It's interesting that for years when my classes would ask me to do prophecy, it would come out of my mouth that there would be a splitting of earth, an unlocking of the earth, and that they would separate, and that some would ascend with the higher earth and others would remain behind. And those that remained behind would have the cataclysms of the old physical earth. And it did come to pass. The old physical earth has been dissolved like a body that disintegrates. It is no more. So we are the only planet that is seeing the hologram. And it's just around our earth where sort of a movie has been placed that the old stars are still in place. That is why it has been necessary to create new astrology. And the astrology of Isis is a free website, my brothers and sisters, and it has created a new, it's ancient astrology, but it is astrology on how to align yourself with planetary influences and use them in a self-determinative way rather than have the planets determine the quality of your life. So as soon as enough astrologers switch over to the Isis astrology, the infinite will tell me to bring in the next levels. There are multiple levels of the astrology of Isis. We have just given the first. And it's when it's practiced and accepted by enough people that the more profound levels will start coming in. So we're the only ones that still think we're in the same place in space and that the planets around us are still in the same configuration and that we're still turning around the sun. The rest of the cosmos knows that it's not so. So she tells of a dream. She says, in the dream, I noticed something on my closed mini blinds. This is still Jan. At first, it seemed to be a very large mosquito. But as I got closer to it, I realized that it was a hummingbird. It was totally still with its beak pointed downwards. It was translucent white in color, as were the mini blinds. It seemed as if there were no emotion left in it. It was looking around the room trying to decide how to safely release it. I was looking around the room trying to decide how to safely release it outside. I cannot get the feeling of the dream released and felt this might be important for everyone, not just a personal symbol for me. The hummingbird represents linear time. A mosquito is a flaw in oneself. It's a flaw that drains resources. So it looks like it is a flaw that drains resources, but in fact it ends up being a hummingbird, which is linear time. Excuse me, I have been speaking for hours this morning. So my brothers and sisters, we have got the mini blinds. Mini blinds is that which obscures the window. It is that which obscures perception. So something that which obscures perception has to do with linear time. Let's take a quick break so I can grab a drink of water here, and we'll be right back.
In this, the fourth book, The Ring of Truth, which chronicles Almaine's journey, she tells of the promise and the potential inherent in the resurgence of the feminine principle, increasingly felt in all aspects of current human experience. The operation of new laws governing the cosmos are explained together with the reasons for their creation.
we are introduced to Mother, the primal creative energy that pervades every aspect of existence. We learn of her love and her laws and how to incorporate them into every thought and act. We are given samples of her divine language, its meaning, and its power. Mother's great gift to humanity, the healing power of Elvispada, is revealed. This new approach to dissolving disease of mind, spirit, and body replaces previously existing methodologies. Application of its techniques removes old barriers of physically oriented existence and opens a broad pathway to a life of joy and fulfillment. Discover Mother and the Ring of Truth, as well as all of Almin's books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com. The Complete Power Of and the Mystical Keys series of radio programs are part of the Premier CD set. They are available from Almin at www.spiritualjourneys.com. Request the entire Premier CD series set or the new book, Aruba Farina, The Book of Fairy Magic, by calling 502-499-0016 today. Almin continues the exploration begun in her previous books, A Life of Miracles and Journey to the Heart of God, probing further into the nature and meaning of existence. Secrets of the Hidden Realms introduces the readers to the goddess mysteries as they apply not only to individual human lives, but to the cycles of the cosmos. From this background in the intangible functions of being, Almin is led into the dimensions of non-humans, interacting with creatures previously known only in myth and folklore, the inner relationships of fairies, dragons, gnomes, unicorns, and other elementals, and their influence on humankind is explained. Vivid accounts of encounters with these beings and others existing as expressions of the widely divergent vibrations illustrate the essential unity of all creation. Journeying from these subtle realms, the reader is shown the ultimate expression of humanity, evolution into God-being. Secret of the Hidden Realms can be obtained from Almin, along with her other books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
It is indeed a cosmic issue, Jean. It is a wonderful, wonderful dream, actually. Very symbolic. The many blinds obscures vision. There is something that's caught in our vision that is obscuring life. That seems that it is a mistake that drains resources from us. And it has to do with linear time. Linear time is a very interesting issue because we cannot have purity when there is linear time. Purity is clear vision. When we do not have purity, there is obstruction of vision, mini blinds in front of our windows. And when we are out of our purity and when we are in linear time, it creates opposition to life. And life starts to spiral into lower levels of consciousness when there's opposition to life. All of these things are the result of linear time. What is it that could possibly create linear time? We have worked and worked and worked for years on behalf of the infinite in my classes, day by day, eliminating anything that causes linear time. If you go to the blog in recent days, you will find that change is the culprit. Change is the birthplace of linear time. This is a translation from the third scroll, the latter part of the third scroll from the Isis libraries. Change is the birthplace of time. Time is the birthplace of space. And on the blog I explain how this came about. What then is instead of change? You see, the infinite lost, let's just say it this way, the infinite lay without change. something changed. And when it changed, it created a division in life, which is separation, it's duality, because there was moments before when the change wasn't there, and there were moments after when change was there. I'm going to explain something a little further than what we have on the blog as to why this is a problem and what we can do about it. If change is the very nature of life, but it is creating loss of purity by creating linear time, either the way change is happening is incorrect or change is an illusion. Change, as in the new continually happening, is an illusion. First of all things are really happening at once when we live in the fluid eternal moment. That's different from living in the moment. Living in the moment, if you live this moment, then you live the next moment, then you live the next moment. And it somehow tells you, and I think we mentioned this on last week's show, that this is not living in linear time, but it is. It's just breaking linear time up like a line across the paper that is a dotted line. It's still a line. So that's still linear time. The way to that is not linear time is to live in the fluid eternal moment. We recommend that people take a week if they can. If not, at least one day in the weekend for a few weekends in which they do nothing. They turn off the television. They turn off music even, because it has associations. They turn off their phones, their faxes, their cell phones, and they just sit. Whether they walk in nature, but make it so that you don't come in contact and have to speak to other people. When a thought comes up, you don't engage it, you just experience it, and you let it fall back down again, like meditation. But this is not meditation. It's the way you would place your little baby out on the lawn on a blanket, and the baby would just be with the moment. The baby is warm. The baby is just enjoying life. Just observes. Eat when you're hungry. Sleep when you're tired. Wake up when you're not. When a thought comes, just observe it. Don't engage it. Let it fall. The Infinite instructed me to do this for a full week. And wherever there was tension in my body, it was the remainder of linear time. And I would have to envision it like the talons of a bird, like the claws of a bird that's in my flesh, and it's the bird of linear time. And I would breathe and breathe and breathe deeply, envisioning myself unhooking those talons in that specific area of my body. It's where linear time is stuck. I went into such deep, deep bliss and such incredible joy of just existing. And my brothers and sisters, that is the eternal moment where there's no, you set alarms, you set little timers to keep you on track in your day. Other than that, you don't bother about the clock. With me, I have the clock in front of me now because I have to do commercial breaks and so on. But other than that, I don't look at the time. I just have things remind me. I have alarms set when I have to take my little girl to school, when I have to get us up, when I have to go pick her up. As much as I can, I stay out of linear time. But change itself was creating linear time. Because of the way we perceived it, change as something new happening moment by moment is a complete illusion. Change as all things existing within the one life right now as accessible potential that we access as we choose. It's a little bit like this. Let's just pretend you sit in a circle with a lot of different beautiful colored balls inside. And you're moving the balls around in all sorts of different patterns, different configurations. That's not new. Those are existing balls. It's when you think that somebody is going to be throwing balls in moment by moment from the outside of the circle that you are thinking there is something new that doesn't exist within your beingness. That is an illusion. Nothing is new. All things exist now. Change cannot really occur. Rearranging into possibilities can occur. But even the possible arrangements already are. So there's really nothing new. Therefore, there is no change. If we understand that, and then we can access all things that are in the moment. And this is a very deeply esoteric principle, but it was one to uncover why impurity kept persisting in the cosmos. We've come to the end of our show. I'm deeply grateful for all the questions that have been sent in, and we will give them to you, the answers to you soon. Thank you so much for joining us, and please be sure and listen to our wonderful audiobook that's available for just $12, which is The Way of the Toltec Nagual. It's been very nicely done, and I think you'll like it. Much love, my brothers and sisters. Bye-bye.
After 3 months of intense physical preparation in January 2004, Elmin experienced a transfiguration, entering the presence of the infinite for the second time since moving into God consciousness, the state of no longer identifying with the ego, in 2000. In the weeks that followed, the powerful revelations contained in this book emerged from that all-encompassing silence. Having lost most of her linear thinking during this transition, much of this book has been written without conscious thought. This form of automatic writing, like automatic speaking she now does, flows freely from source into her own handwriting from which it was transcribed. Few have entered into God consciousness to leave the bliss to teach. Still fewer in the stage of immortal master, and in addition, continue to function among the masses. But as a Toltec Nagual and seer, Elmin's life is dedicated to leading others to complete freedom from mortal boundaries. Journey to the heart of God is an opportunity of a lifetime to see through the eyes of one who has encountered the indescribable realms of eternity. From such a perspective come insights that can heal the deepest wounds of alienation found in human hearts. Journey to the heart of God contains, no matter how profound, truth. Truth that can be recognized for what it is, and it is the truth that shall set us free. Pick up a copy of The Journey to the Heart of God and discover your personal truth and freedom through Elmin's books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
We hope you've enjoyed today's show, Windows into Eternity with Al Mee. Please join us again next week.